Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Hey.
Real quick, Sean.
Yeah.
As I was telling you about the retirement community in Florida, it's called The Villages,
right,
in Florida. In case anybody else misunderstood, like a police officer here who works in the Villages, the Memorial Villages.
Here in Houston, yeah.
Informed me that none of this is true, what you're saying. It's a master planned community in Florida. The name of the town is The Villages.
Right.
I was not talking about the Hempshire Village or whatever those things are called over there.
All the villages between like Westheimer and I-10, west of the Loop. A lot of villages over there.
Hertfordshire, Townshipshire, or whatever those things are.
We're not saying they don't have a high STD rate over there. It's just not documented as high as the one at the retirement community in Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where you want to go if you want to get elderly gonorrhea. Yeah.
And who doesn't
a finer vintage of gonorrhea?
Right, ages. Nothing
doctors
ages.
Like, ew, haven't seen this since 73.
it's an interesting blend. Someone says on the text page, just FYI, I'm an attorney. This goes back to, let me hit pause for a second here. This goes back to Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley giving golf carts to all of their offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And you and I pointing out that these are actually more useful than you think, because a lot of these guys live in gated communities where they ride around in their golf carts.
Just go see your buddies in the,
buddies, and as you said, you know, maybe skirt a DUI or two. And
uh-huh.
He says, just FYI, I'm an attorney. I've handled many cases where a person driving a golf cart was charged with DWI. As you might suspect, many of the cases were stupid and were dismissed.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't an endorsement of driving your golf cart drunk on city streets. I just know that there are people that do that. Yeah.
It happens. It happens. So the college football playoff, the quarterfinals wrap up today. We will know who the final four teams are by tonight. Notre Dame plays Georgia today in a game at 3 o'clock that was postponed after the tragic events in New Orleans on the morning of January 1st, where a guy from here in Houston, actually, is where the truck initiated, and his home is here in Houston. At least there's a home under his name here in Houston. Mm-hmm. The perpetrator is dead. He was shot by police after running over dozens of people, killing 15, putting 30-plus more in the hospital. It was just an awful, awful, awful scene. And it led to a wider investigation in New Orleans of terrorist activity. They swept the Superdome again, seeing if there were any IEDs. And they thought that the better thing to do would be to take a day and push the game back, and it's going to be played at 3 o'clock today. Unfortunately, up until now, like, this is what, like, 7 games in, this playoff is probably has a dark cloud over it just based on what happened in New Orleans. Hopefully that, you know, with some football, that goes away. But you were about to say something. What were you going to say?
I think the house, as I understood it, the house in Houston is an Airbnb where he had been.
Okay.
But don't use me as your news source.
I just saw in the article said under his name. So it could be
Airbnb. Yeah, so yeah, I don't know.
Could be an Airbnb. So some of this stuff, this tragedy may have taken place here in Houston. I know the truck that was used was rented, I want to say, in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. It's a horrible, horrible story, and definitely thoughts and prayers go out to everybody affected by it. As far as the on-field goes, as far as the game goes, there's been some good and some bad. I was not a huge 12-team playoff advocate as the season started to unfold and they started to release more and more of the like the seedings and this is what the tournament would look like. That did get me kind of excited about it. I think there's been some good and some bad. I've got my list here, Seth. I got three things best and three things worst about the college football playoffs so far. Back of the napkin stuff. The best thing to me is the on-campus games. Like the games, the first round games being played in an on-campus atmosphere in places like Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, places like that. I think it's so badass that I agree with John Harris. I know one of the things he's talked about is making the quarterfinal games campus games as well. You know, make it easier for people to travel to go to these games.
Yeah, yeah. I like a lot of it. And part of it, though, too, is it's brand new. You know, like I don't think there's like people's patterns, especially around the holidays and between semesters and everything else like that. It's going to take a while for people to kind of adjust to the reality and the expectations of, you know, what you do with games like this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like the idea of the more home games, the better. I know that then it becomes different with the actual bowl games themselves and all the finances surrounding that whole dynamic.
The bowls are a prominent part. Including the bowls in any sort of playoff structure has always felt like an essential part of the whole thing. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's number one. I love the on-campus games. Number two, and I think yesterday was a really good example of this, or the last 2 days, like the marquee players around the country getting a chance to see them perform on an elimination stage. Like, could Ashton Gentry carry Boise State to a win over Penn State? The answer was no, but it was fun to watch. Scataboo yesterday, who I know you like to call Pikachu, but Scataboo yesterday on Arizona State put together an amazing performance, especially during the comeback in that game. Like that
between Pikachu and the officials, that was a dicey scenario.
Dicey, man.
For the Longhorns.
What did you think of that targeting, the non-targeting call there on Texas? I think I'm in the minority where I'm like, I don't know, man. The guy had his head up. It was like more face mask helmet.
Yeah, I guess, but there's helmet to helmet, so you got to call it.
Yeah. I hate the rule.
I try that. Like, I'm on the side of, like, I'd like to see it very rarely called. So I don't, like, that's my bias towards it.
I'm with you.
I would prefer that not to be targeting, and yet I feel like it's kind of like with Aziz Alshire. I don't think he deserved the 2-game suspension because there was an intent element to it that wasn't there. I don't think there was an intent the way people wanted to paint it out. But as far as it being penalized, I was like, yeah, that's what's going to happen these days. I get it. I understand. Yeah, it probably should have been called.
Even though
I don't think it should have been, it probably should have been called.
Yeah, maybe Arizona State wins that game. They punted on the very next play, and it was in the last 5 minutes of the game. The third thing I really like, this goes back to a texter that texted before, just lamenting that New Year's Day, like the bowl season's kind of been bastardized by the playoff a little bit. I do love the scheduling layout in terms of it's revived New Year's Day. Like New Year's Day used to, like for the longest, like from the BCS through the 14 playoff, It had gotten kind of bastardized a little bit. Yeah. I love that yesterday, if there had not been a terrorist attack in New Orleans, we would have had playoff game at noon, playoff game at 3:30, playoff game at 7:30 or whatever it was Notre Dame and Georgia were supposed to play. That New Year's Day has been revived as this marquee day on the calendar for college football is really cool to me.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
And it does. I think there's a lot of potential here. I think we're going to be arguing about the details and the seeding and everything else that goes into it, exactly which teams make it and which don't make it, especially among the lesser than the Power Five. But, I like the potential for it.
Yeah.
I think because it looks a lot like how every single other freaking sport does it.
Besides their playoff,
for college football forever, it's been this, I don't know, should we make it like every single other sport in America?
Right.
And actually have it like, I don't know, boy, that would be a bold move. You mean doing it like every high school, college, NFL, Major League Baseball, AAU, everybody does it that way? Like, are we going to be bold enough to do it the way everybody else does it?
And yet you've got to keep a committee involved somehow.
Yeah, right? No, we can't go completely into just
a committee. If you don't have a committee, and bureaucracy, then it ain't college sports.
Yeah,
baby.
You know what I think the NFL needs? They need even more like college, so we can argue endlessly about whether the seven seed should or should not have made the playoffs.
You and I are going to disagree on this. If they did that for a year, that would be fun as hell. Just for a year. Just like let it be, if you win your division, you're automatically in.
Yeah.
But then we debate over the wild card teams based on, Cincinnati would be in if we were doing that, right? Like 8-8. They're a worse record than Denver and the Chargers and the Steelers, but Joe Burrow's an MVP candidate. They've won four in a row at the end of the year, and
it's a lot. The thing that bothers me about it bringing any kind of committee into it is like college football is one of the most uniquely American things we do. And having a committee be a part of deciding it is like one of the most communist things we do. A committee of elders, wise elders, that are there for God knows why, and don't seem like they actually pay that much attention to it.
The three things that I have not liked about the college football playoff, the 12-team iteration that we've got right now so far, football wise. I mean, obviously, I hate Notre Dame getting postponed for the reasons it did yesterday, but the three football things. Blowout Palooza. We've had seven games, and the only one that's been close is the Texas-Arizona State game, which was
It's been fun watching everybody kind of throw it in Herb Street's face as Saban and Herb Street acted like, oh, I can't believe Indiana is in the tournament with teams like Alabama.
You need to use that accent more. It's a perfect lead-in into my second thing. Blowout Palooza, that's an easy one. The games just haven't been great. I'm with you, the coaches and the fan bases bitching and moaning about being the 12th best team in the country. And, I think a perfect example is Lane Kiffin, who, as the blowouts are unfolding in the first round of the playoff, he's retweeting all the results of it saying, great job, committee, great job. The implication being that the SEC should get more teams in, even though they lost three games. He was pretty quiet, if I'm not mistaken, about Tennessee losing by 25 to Ohio State.
Yeah.
Last I checked, Tennessee's an SEC team. So these coaches and these fan bases, hey, lose less. I would entertain your arguments if it were still a four-team playoff. And you were 11-1 or 12-1 or so, 12-1 and your only loss is in the SEC title game. I'm here for it. That you lost three games and two of them are to Kentucky and Florida.
Yeah.
Get bent. Get out of here.
It feels like a legacy. It feels like a rich legacy kid whining about not getting into Yale.
Yes.
I might not have gotten all A's, but my last name is Lichtensteiner or whatever it is. Yeah. Just shut up, rich kid.
Shut up, Rockefeller.
Same goes for you. Entire SEC. You don't get to ride Nick Saban's jock strap into the national championship.
Yeah.
All right.
Hell out of here, Rockefeller. Get out of here.
Do something with your life. If Tennessee would have honored you guys by showing up,
My only other one, because I've got issues with the seeding and the conference champions being guaranteed a top four seed. Although Arizona State proved that, not all those games, as a four seed, they gave Texas a really good game. I think there are some clunky things about how the 12 is structured, and I think they'll correct those things. The only other quibble I have is just my own impatience because I hate the amount of time in between the rounds. In the NFL, it's a week. These, the first set of playoff games were played on the 20th, and there was not a single other game until New Year's Eve. It's 11 days.
Yeah.
Then it's another 10 days until the next round, and then after that, it's going to be another 10 days until the title game. Now, I get why that is. The college football playoff is seeding to the NFL's popular. They're scheduling all this around the NFL playoff schedule.
But then the problem is too with the NFL. The NFL has just thrown everything into an even bigger loop by playing games on almost every single day of the week this year.
Yeah.
I feel very disoriented time-wise right now.
Yeah.
There used to be a certain rhythm to my holidays and football viewing and everything else like that. Between the NFL and especially the way the Texans had it this year and with college football, I barely know which way is up and what day of the week it is. Everything feels off.
The holidays, Christmas and New Year's being on a Wednesday exacerbates that whole thing too.
Yeah.
It's the holiday.
It's a weekend, then a holiday, yeah. And then a little bit, and then a weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. So you and I solved that by working yesterday because we're working.
That's what I did. Yeah. I was like, no, I can't take any more disruptions to my schedule. I'll forget my potty training if any more of this goes on. I'll just
smell.
Why is Seth acting up? Why did he poop his pants and now he's got mange? Like, what the hell's going on with Seth?
It's the football schedule. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. So
we have a psychotic cat that it's like if we mess up one thing with her schedule, it's like she's kind of got a routine. We keep her in the back part of the house after we give her dinner at night.
Oh.
So she's got, don't worry, it's not a little closet or anything. It's several rooms, but she stays back there because she's an issue at night.
Yeah.
But if we like feed her and we're like, yeah, maybe we'll, you know, like let's try to stretch it out a little bit to see if she'll hang out on the couch with us. If we feed her her meal but leave the door open to the back area of our house, within like 3 minutes, she's out agitating to get fed again.
Really?
Like it's just like pacing around and just, caterwauling and everything. She completely forgets that she already ate.
Wow.
So she's such a creature of habit and routine that we can't mess with it at all. And that's what I feel like right now, like my psychotic white cat.
Yeah. So does she bring enough to the table though to make up for that high maintenance
Snowy?
Attitude?
No. Not no, not
this
one
is
bit.
Snowy that you're talking about?
I call her white privilege. She's got no idea how good she has it, and she won't shut up about how miserable she is all the time. So Snowy, because she's an all white cat.
Yeah.
She's psychotic. I don't know. She's very lovey.
Yeah.
For like about, I'd say 90 minutes out of the day. It's because it's a half hour. It's 45 minutes after she's been fed. We had to put her on a diet because she won't stop eating.
Yeah.
So after breakfast and after lunch, she's lovey as hell for 45 minutes, and then she immediately starts agitating for more food.
Oh my God, that sounds awful.
And she attacked our child like relentlessly for like 12 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, boy, sounds like an amazing pet.
I tried. I came very close to taking care of the situation multiple times.
By finding a loving home for her that wasn't yours, right?
Yeah, my abused child wouldn't, because of, Stockholm Syndrome and everything, wouldn't allow
really?
It.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's funny. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday. New face in the building, old face coming back in. We heard from D'Amico on both of those, and we'll do that. Talk about that. We'll hear from D'Amico coming up next.